Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Grid on a Friday morning with a ton to get to. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, live in action. DRS, how you feeling?
Feeling good. Friday, getting charged up here for the weekend. We actually got a Friday night NBA basketball game. We got runs being scored across Major League Baseball. You got wide receivers getting paid as well. Early in the morning. Vegas never sleeps.
Yeah, some, yeah, it's wild. Some Hunter Renfro news just came down. We'll find some way to probably work that in. But the 7-7 headlines begins with the NBA Finals. It is the story, as Donnie mentioned, of the sports world right now. And the big story is whether or not Steph will be a go for this game. He has said, Donnie, with pretty much in certain terms, he will be playing game number 4. The odds suggest that he will be playing. Boston as a 4-point favorite. Steph still has his listed points. Prop, though, a little value there for old DRS. Steph will be playing tonight's game.
Yes, he will be playing tonight's game. How effective, that's going to be the difference. Because you know the interesting part about yesterday, Kevin, was you were waiting to get the news. And as we were talking on the air yesterday on the early line, I said, you know, it's 29.5, Kevin. I'm taking the under because I think it's going to be less than 29.5 as opposed to being 30.5 or 31.5. We see that 1-point differential today. But the one thing I was waiting on yesterday was not like, okay, Steph's MRI came back clean, which he didn't get one. He's feeling a little bit better. I wanted a practice report. Strategy maybe to not practice at all yesterday for the Golden State Warriors and just have those guys with the low minutes, as they like to say. Something interesting to keep an eye on, I guess, through shoot around today and also pregame warm-up.
Yeah, it's a good point. And just to give that reference, yesterday live on air during a breakdown around Steph, and we'll expand on this, Don's like, you know what, I'm betting a Steph Curry under 29.5. This morning, again, that is 28.5. So you can see the notion there is an under towards Steph Curry. Maybe an older group, you don't want to run them out there too much, but it's a good point by you. Certainly something for us to follow. Another piece of NBA news, you mentioned Vegas doesn't sleep again. Hunter Renfro just got paid this morning by the Vegas Raiders. Well, we'll see if people start to get paid in the NBA from a Vegas team. And if that happens, it might be because their owner is LeBron James. LeBron, Donnie, on the record saying that he would like to own an expansion team in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I think if we're going to expand in the NBA, doesn't it feel like Las Vegas is that next spot? You don't even have to build the infrastructure, right? When you had to get an NFL team, what did you have to do? Build a giant stadium. When you wanted to get the Vegas Knights and there's a hockey team, what did you have to build? T-Mobile Arena. Well, that arena is already there, ready to go. So the next step here, and you're trying to tell me right now, the competitive advantage in the NBA. Hey, do I want to play in Milwaukee or do I want to play in Vegas? Ooh, that's a good recruiting tool.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see. I think LeBron's made it very clear that he plans on owning an NBA franchise at some point. The news came out last week that he is a billionaire, so I think he is going to be completely fine as it pertains to that ability to make that happen. If they do expand, we'll see. What do you got there, Donnie? Did you just get a message or something?
Like, I'm telling you, look, people don't understand what happens behind the scenes here live. Uh-huh. But if we're taking, like, if you take, like, hey, why don't you film with your phone the right way so it's not, like, vertical? You want to film horizontal, get that clean picture, that return monitor. I don't know, man. Is the glasses enough that you have on? You need some more.
Yeah, no, listen. Jeez. Hold on, man. Let me start hosting this show the appropriate way. I'll tilt that head a little bit and start breaking it down. Listen, again, that LeBron story, though, the Vegas story is quite interesting stuff. The radio audience is here, though. Early Friday morning, Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wright, side of the early line on Sports Grid. Yesterday, Rangers Lightning in action. Rangers early lead. This has been a little bit, unfortunately, for them, Donnie, the story of this series. Early lead, lead blown, and now a series lead blown. Three wins in a row for the defending champs.
Yes, and I was surprised by that yesterday, but they reverted back, talking about the FanDuel Sportsbook here, that plus 108, which was telling you, hey, why don't you jump in here and take the Rangers at that plus money price? It was a fantastic hockey game all the way through. Last 2 minutes of the game, the Lightning strike again. Heartbreak for the Rangers. Now they're down 3-2, and they got a win on away ice here once they go down to Tampa Bay.
16-1 for the Rangers to win the Cup. 4-1 now. Ooh. To win that series. How about a couple stories around LA baseball that we have to get to? Also, we will expand on the PGA suspending 17 golfers as the LIV tournament gets underway. But I want to hit some of these Major League Baseball stories, Donnie. Shohei Ohtani. You and I have debated the Aaron Judge Ohtani MVP situation. Ohtani with a reminder as to why you have been saying this guy will be in the race the entire way. A fantastic performance on the mound. Hit a two-run homer in this game, something that only he could do to stop a 14-game losing streak.
Yes, and also the steam coming back here at the FanDuel Sportsbook as Ohtani now a plus 270 price here to win the MVP. Mike Trout drops back to a 7-1 favorite as he missed the game last night with injury. Aaron Judge at plus 150. But you're right. Shohei Ohtani, when he gets one of those games where he's seven innings, no runs, one run, and hits a home run at the plate, he's going to get that acknowledgement there, and you see that in the odds race.
Yeah, rightfully so, especially with the injury to Trout, as you were saying there. It makes sense to see his odds start to fall back. Can we get odds on next manager to be fired? They're firing managers left and right out there. Could Tony La Russa be next? A two-strike count, Donnie, on Trey Turner. Intentionally walked. Next batter, three-run shot. Not ideal.
No, and the guy in the background that when they were showing the live video, hey, Tony! Don't you know there was two strikes? I couldn't even figure out what was going on at that point. Ridiculous. And I love the fact that he paid for that dumb mistake.
Yeah, and he goes, oh, it was a great decision. Defending it after. Oh. Shout out to Tony Larusso for that. We'll talk to the NBA.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Playing Saturday, we would have had to talk about it here, but it's nice that we are back in action, and it adds for a lot of intrigue. You have the Boston Celtics as a four-point favorite tonight, but a minus 230 favorite to win this series. Golden State's number is plus 185. Let's start with what is the big story going into game number four, Steph Curry and his status from a health perspective. Yesterday, that number, Donnie, was 29.5 for a points prop. You went straight up to the window and got yourself a piece of the under. It is 28.5 now. I think it's reasonable that that number could continue to drop. Talk to the people a little bit about your expectations health-wise on Steph Curry.
Yeah, it's going to be one to watch here, one to watch early on, because yesterday we didn't get enough information, at least to my liking, of if he practiced, did he sit out of practice, did he only do individual work? We didn't get a look because the Golden State Warriors didn't practice yesterday, use that as a rest day. So now all eyes are going to be on the NBA Finals pregame. How does Steph look? He's probably going to look good in your pregame. I don't anticipate him jogging out of the tunnel and not being able to make it to midcourt before having to like call the trainers over at this point. But also, it brings into a lot of stuff because you're at the 29.5, which was there yesterday, which means Steph would have to get 30, which is basically what he's averaging for this series. But also in a game four on the road, a little bit banged up, I'll take the under. And also, I didn't check the current numbers today, but like three-point props. Mm-hmm. I believe it was 4.5 yesterday with some juice. I would lean towards the under also. It's not Steph's not coming into this game better off than what he was for game three. And if we're just taking a look at even what Steph Curry said, look, the injury felt a lot like what happened in the regular season, just maybe not as bad. Well, what does that mean? He missed 12 games with that injury. And this isn't one of those, Kevin, where you say, okay, I'm glad we clinched our series early. I have 8 days to get ready for the NBA Finals. You basically had 36 hours to get ready here for game four in the Garden. So if I'm looking from a betting perspective and Steph goes out there, Kevin, and scores 35 points in the Golden State Warriors win, I'll tip my cap. But if I know somebody got banged up and he's the slightest bit injured, I'm going to go with that under number because the FanDuel Sportsbook posted that price of 29.5 yesterday, Kevin, thinking that he's going to be full speed. And if I don't think he's going to be full speed, I think the value's on the under, and that's why that line moved today from 29.5 to 28.5.
It's really the timing of it is so unfortunate if you're the Golden State Warriors, that organization or anyone who's backed them in the futures market, because you really would love that extra rest day if you could now for Steph Curry. Look, for Steph to compare it to his injury that came against the Boston Celtics, it was the last game that he played of the regular season. It cost him a full month of basketball, 12 total games. I know he has said it is not as severe, but again, you start to kind of work that down. It suggests, okay, Steph would be missing maybe what? A week of basketball if this was the regular season. So he is not going to likely be out there at a 100% effective rate. And then you just factor in that this guy has basically been great in every single one of these games, at least for the first three quarters. He kind of starts to peter out as the fourth quarter turns around. And another number that we'll talk about, and we'll be able to expand on, specific prop picks, but just to add some additional perspective here, Donnie, how about his three-point shot prop at 4.5 minus yes. 128 under? We had juiced 3.5s for a while on Steph. Donnie, if he goes over that prop, that would be 4-for-4 on games with 5-plus made threes in this series. For some additional perspective, the last time Steph did that, it was the last days of the 2021 calendar and then carried it over onto New Year's Day. So essentially, Donnie, during the year of 2022, Steph has not had 4 consecutive games, and I'm saying this as if it's a slight. Nobody should even be asked. There's 4 consecutive games of 5-plus threes. There's so many avenues where this just feels like a letdown spot for Steph Curry, which has a huge factor, of course, in this game because they've lost 2 of the 3, and he's been great in all of the 3.
You're right. And if you look at that price, because this is back to that old Steph Curry that we're looking at, right? The let's just say last 2 to 3 years, not injured, but also at the beginning of the season when it seemed like every single night, hey, let's try to build a 3-point player prop parlay. And you can't include Steph because his numbers are so outrageous. It doesn't even make sense. He'd have to make 5 or 6 3-point shots in order to add value to a parlay. But as we look tonight in this game, the under basically says here, layman's terms, if he doesn't make 5 3-point shots, that's a plus 100. And that's something I'm willing to probably go under on because if we're looking at Steph Curry and he's healthy, we know he can make 5 3-point shots, but it's not a given. Steph Curry doesn't roll out of bed and make 6, 7, 8 3-point shots every single night. 5 is a lot. If you said to me, hey, he's going to shoot 4 of 10 or 4 of 11 from 3-point range, that's a great night. That doesn't even cash your ticket on the over. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that Steph Curry is not even going to play the same amount of minutes, but anybody out there that's had an injury anywhere, it doesn't matter, shoulder, wrist, finger, ankle, hamstring, you know it's in the back of your mind. And you know who else knows that Steph Curry's banged up and injured? The Boston Celtics. So if you're Marcus Smart, let's just say he's guarding him one-on-one, are you going to lay back on Steph Curry knowing that his ankle is a little bit bum and he probably doesn't have the speed to get by you like he normally would? What do you do, Kevin? You crowd his space. You say, you're not just going to stay out here at the 3-point line and get wide open looks here. I'm going to be right underneath you, forcing you to put the basketball on the floor and prove to me that your ankle is healthy. I like the unders in both ways. And this is by saying, Steph could come out perfectly healthy and go 2 for 3 in the first quarter from 3-point range. Like, oh, it's going to be one of those nights. But I'm not going to be surprised, Kevin, if Steph Curry comes out and you hear the announcement in the background, Steph Curry opens a game 0-for-4 from 3-point range. The ankle clearly bothering him. I'm not going to be surprised by that either.
And again, even if his ankle was 100% fine, just it is normal for a subpar game to check in. Steph has had one game so far in each of the first three series where he shot it at under 40% from the field. So it is he's had 0 4 straight 5-plus made 3 playoff games. That's not a knock, by the way, because that's not a realistic asking price for people. I will add this context, though. The popular parlay section on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Steph for 3+3s in every game, minus 280. Ridiculous. 4+3s in every game, plus 125. 5+3s in every game in this series, plus 550. Man, it just, like, what would that have been for this guy to go for 5+3s in every game in a series, pre-series? Clearly better than a 10-to-1 price, but it just is a little bit too much, I think, of a mountain to climb. We always like to play this game of where these numbers could go depending on the result. Yesterday, I know we touched a little bit on the idea of if Golden State's win, if they do win, we think they flip back to a favorite. I know I do. Donnie agreed. We didn't really talk about what this looks like if Boston wins this game. Minus 230. This might sound like a lot. Donnie, I think we're talking about a floor of minus 800 on the Boston Celtics to win this series if they take game number four. Am I off base there? Is that too extreme? Minus 800 on Boston if they win game four?
I think it might be a little bit too much, because the only thing is now that you say, because let's just say Boston does win this game, Kevin, they go up 3-1. I already told, like, I thought whoever would win game three here, and I did pick the Boston Celtics to win game three, would win the series, because quite frankly, I think Boston, again, we'll get to it a little bit later in the handicapping, is going to win. But I think you're correct on this, because even me, who would say, okay, Boston wins tonight, they win the series, you're going to trot out like a plus 400, a plus 450 on the Golden State Warriors to win this series going back home, which means, as you like to say, win game five and all the pressure comes back on Boston for game six. They know they have to close out. Will they? Probably. But if that gets to a game seven, you got big tickets in your pocket here. So even though I think Boston will win the series at this point, I'm going to tell you right now, they head back and you give me that big price here of Boston's a minus 800 favorite. I'm looking for ways to try to take those Golden State Warriors here at a big price.
Yeah, all of a sudden getting 6-1. It's a fair point. And I think to your point as well, the book probably won't need to hang minus 800, right? Because, like, they'll gladly likely take those Golden State bets, but they could probably get people to bet it at 3-1, even if they're down 3-1 in the series. And that very well could factor in. We will reset some of the series leaders and the finals MVP prices next right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Imagine I told you before the series, Donnie, hey, we'd be three games in, we'd have a minus 230 price on Boston, but a finals MVP price on Jason Tatum at minus 110. Let's start with this. Steph Curry, plus 190, Golden State's numbers plus 185. Do you think there is a path to Steph winning finals MVP in a loss? He has comfortably been the best player in this series. Is there a chance he comes away with this award if they lose the series?
2 days ago, before game three started, Kevin, I would have told you yes, regardless of the outcome. But now that you're hanging another level onto this where we don't know the injury status, so I'm going to base this on Steph Curry going, yeah, I'm a little bit nicked up now. Maybe I'm not going to be at full strength for the rest of this series. That takes a hit for me. So he sits there at the plus 190 price. But as I said, before game three, there would have been a pathway where at least I could have had an argument to say, yes, if they go to game seven, Steph loses out to Jason Tatum, averages more points, more assists throughout this series, and they just lose at like the gun, and he was the catalyst for the reason why that they even got to game seven, I would say yes. But at this point now, if I'm dealing with an injury, because I don't know what I'm getting out of Steph tonight, I could get normal Steph Curry, 35 points tonight. Okay, now he's back in the MVP race, but I also could get 17-point Steph Curry and the ankle clearly bothering him, which would give them, A, no chance to win this, you know, seven-game series, if it even goes that long, which it looks like you're going to need to if you're the Golden State Warriors. But at that point, I can't do it now, Kevin. The injury status is now up in the air where I can't back Steph Curry, even if they lose here, to be the MVP candidate.
Let me just put this, though, into perspective. And we always say, like, try and remove your personal biases as much as possible. And I try and do that as good as I can. I don't care if he averages 50 the rest of the way and this goes 7 and comes down to a buzzer beater and Boston wins. It will be a disgrace if he gets finals MVP in a loss. First of all, they gave him the first ever unanimous MVP, which is a disgrace already. And again, that's not just a LeBron thing. They never gave it to Michael. Preposterous. And then again, the fact that this hasn't happened since Jerry West, despite the fact that there were some instances where you could have made an argument for guys winning finals MVP and losing efforts, to then also give that to Steph Curry, it will be a disgrace, in my opinion. Now, I also don't expect that to happen because, truthfully, there is no scenario where I could see a world where Steph Curry is so much better than Tatum or Jaylen Brown and the Warriors lose the series. I just don't see that as possible. Which leaves us, Donnie, with Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Tatum's numbers minus 110. Jaylen Brown's is plus 410. I really do think this will be Tatum. I think Boston's going to get... We'll expand on this, of course, in hour number two. I think Tatum will get tonight's game. I think Boston will get tonight's game. And I think it'll be with a big Tatum performance. But there's probably more creative ways to back Tatum, like a points prop over tonight, instead of tying the money up just in case. Like, Donnie, I think I'd rather go minus 118 Tatum over 26.5 points than go minus 110 finals MVP.
Yeah, it makes some sense. But getting back to that finals MVP talk for Steph Curry. Now, Kevin, let me lay the scene out for you here. We've never seen this before. It's probably the least talented team coming out of the West in probably the past 15 years. You're talking about Steph Curry, the best player on this basketball team. Who else is with him? Draymond stinks. Klay Thompson hasn't gotten together.
Yeah, I know. Poole.
I mean, we've never seen an athlete of this caliber put his team on his back like right. never before. I've been watching basketball. You know, I'm 44 years old for a long time. In the last 25 years, there's never been an athlete in the finals that had a team that was so underwhelming like the Golden State Warriors. And you say to yourself, if Steph leads them to at least a game 7, rightfully so, taking the MVP, you would agree.
Donnie, an all-time needler. And luckily, we've been doing this enough to where, like, those things aren't going to bother me. There are people out there, though, who believe what Donnie's, you know, bringing to the table.
Yes.
Donnie, do you know that he's not the only All-Star game starter in his rotation? I mean, I was told they figured out Andrew Wiggins turned him into a full-max guy, Donnie. Draymond Green. Donnie, Draymond Green is the most impactful player in the NBA's history, despite averaging 7 points per game. Klay Thompson, the second best shooter of all time. Jordan Poole's a future max guy. Steve Kerr, one of the greatest coaches in the history of the sport. Oh, no, 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 Donnie. On the contrary, this will be one of the most disappointing performances, actually, for a superstar when you consider that they were favored to win the series, had the first two at home, Donnie. Yeah, that's not going to fly no matter how much you try and needle. It'll be an outright disappointment if this lands with a loss on the Golden State Warriors side.
Hey, if the Golden State Warriors lose, the only thing I'm going to be able to say at the end of the series is, what did you want Steph to do? I mean, look at the deck he was playing with out here. Got injured, team isn't very good. I mean, there's a lot of escape clauses here. We could back Steph Curry for sure.
Which, you know, typically, though, it would be great. You talk about escape clauses. I'd be like, man, Donnie, you got this pick wrong. You said the Warriors would win. But by the time this series is over, Donnie will have picked both of these teams a couple of times to win the series. So you'll be more than fine in that regard. Let me ask you a little bit about these series leader markets. By the way, that assist one, we talked about Tatum going into game number 3, minus 650 after dropping 9 dimes. So that looks to be signed, sealed, and delivered. Steph for threes is minus 4,000 and for points is minus 1,350. Are you looking at any of those markets at all? Any vulnerability there? We're talking about Steph unders. Are there any big prices that you're even tempted to entertain?
Now, here's the one that I would be tempted to entertain here, and it's not so much with like the rebound average or 3 points made, but how about the series points average for Steph Curry alone? They're still listing here at the FanDuel Sportsbook at 30.5 points, which again, if I'm betting the under here in game four, and maybe we only get to a game five, all it takes is back-to-back performances where what? Steph probably goes for an average of 24 points in those two games, a little bit banged up, and he's not going to get that number. That's the one I'm looking for, because if you're trying to average out like assists, you know, other guys can jump in and, you know, Tatum could do one of those. Okay, I have two assists in this game and, you know, Jaylen Brown gets six or seven. Those can sort of be made up for me, but the points is what I'm looking at here, and it's all coming from the same prospectus. If I'm looking at this series here now and I'm looking at Steph Curry, if I think he's even the slightest bit banged up, that's the angle I'm trying to approach. Now, 3 point shots made, I mean, Steph can probably make like one tonight, and, you know, if they get closed out in five, one more, and he's probably still going to have that. But the points prop is kind of interesting to me, because you're right. Aren't we waiting on Jason Tatum? Aren't we waiting on Jason Tatum where he scores 38 points in a game? And that's all the catalyst you would need to try to overcome that, particularly just looking at Steph Curry alone with the 30.5 or the points per game average in the series. Those would be the two angles I would attack. And the only reason I'm attacking Kevin, again, the uncertainty of the ankle for Steph Curry.
Now, just to give people an idea, if Steph scores 28, he will be averaging exactly 30.5. See, that's the interesting thing about this market, is I feel like at first glance, people will be like, oh, he's averaging either 31 or he's averaging either 30. But if he scores 27, he'd be averaging 30.3 points per game. That'd be an under from what my understanding would be, right? Like, that's under 30.5. I know it's not... Like, this isn't 30 and a half. It's 30.5. So, again, I think it matches up. The one thing I would say, again, on that full series average and why I think Donnie's bet on an under tonight makes more sense is, let's just say he scores 24 tonight. You're not out of the woods when you talk about making the move then back to Golden State. He climbs the ladder, hits 30-plus, and all of a sudden that starts to jump off of the page. The other thing I'll add quickly, Tatum tonight, 24.5. It's minus 120. I'm interested in that number, but he's going to need to average 29-30, basically, over the next two games to be averaging 25-plus after five games in this series. So I'm just, some of those series averages jump out, but more so kind of lead me to some of the game four bets that I'm interested in. We'll expand on game four, no doubt about it, when we get to our second hour, but we have enough time to sneak in the other NBA story that we mentioned in our top headlines. LeBron wants to own a Vegas expansion team. First athlete to be a billionaire, right? This is a spot now, or, you know, kind of my active athlete, Donnie, to be a billionaire. This is going to happen, basically. We know the NBA is going to want to expand. They'd be over the move to have LeBron James as an owner. We've sometimes said, oh, is he going to take over for Dan Gilbert in Cleveland? I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know the when, but I think this is, again, when, not if, LeBron owns an expansion team in Las Vegas.
Yeah, and it's not even to say, like, you know, LeBron's a billionaire and he's got the assets, because he probably won't have enough himself. But anybody would want LeBron James fronting an NBA organization, including, Kevin, the NBA themselves. And all it takes is LeBron James to have 51% control, and he runs the franchise, and it's his. When you look around the NFL, multiple, you know, organizations have guys behind the scenes. Hey, I'm 40% owner, I'm 30% owner. LeBron James will be the face of the franchise. Not like Magic Johnson of the, you know, Dodgers. Oh, I'm going to buy like 1% of the team, but you'll put me out front. No, he wants to own the team like Michael Jordan owns the team in Charlotte, where this is my team, 51% control. I hire the coaches, I hire the GMs, the staff, and also have a hand in picking the players. I think if you're the NBA and you hear LeBron James, because somehow, hey, I don't want to own a team, I just want to, you know, go retire, watch my kids play basketball. Yeah. For him owning a team and putting it in Las Vegas, that's a lot of cash and cachet for the NBA. They certainly got to like that type of scenario. Like, ooh, this is interesting. LeBron James owning a team here. LeBron in the West, you know, Jordan in the East. Where do they meet up in the finals? And that might be the end-all, be-all of who was the greatest basketball player of all time, settled when both of these guys aren't even on the court. Can you imagine?
Yeah. The one thing is, if Michael Jordan ever gets to the NBA Finals with Charlotte, that would be a miracle, because he's been an outright disaster every single year, even if they have LaMelo Ball. It would be interesting to see kind of what that Vegas valuation would come at. There's only three teams that are over like $4 billion between, they should ask the Washington Commanders for some help naming the Vegas franchise. See how bad they
don't lose your fan base, Commanders.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Top headlines from Major League Baseball, and Tony La Russa checks in as top dog here. We did the headlines. I wrote Dodgers walk past White Sox. I could have done better. Walk of shame would have been an A-plus headline. Nevertheless, if you missed this, a 1-2 count on Trey Turner, a pass ball freed up first base, you know, man on second, nobody on first. And at that moment, instead of saying, pitch around Turner, or, hey, my guy's got him in a 1-2 count. Maybe he can get him out. He goes, oh, excellent. Put Trey Turner over on first base. Next batter, Max Muncy, 3-run home run. They lose this game, the White Sox, 11-9. I mean, come on. This feels pretty easy here, doesn't it? I mean, I just feel like Tony La Russa has been a consistent string of bad decisions since he showed up in Chicago, one of the more underachieving franchises in baseball right now. We talk about kind of expectations coming into this season here. I mean, hot seat? I don't know. Am I too far? Donnie, did you defend the decision? Would you have walked intentionally Trey Turner despite being down 1-2 in the count?
I mean, one of the more ridiculous things you'll see, and sometimes you can sort of cover it up. Like, we've had Gabe Kapler in Philadelphia just go brain dead multiple times, which is why he got fired in Philadelphia, not understanding the rules and blaming it on. I tried to pick up the phone to call the bullpen, and nobody picked up the phone, and the bullpen, you know, phone was off the hook, so I couldn't get another pitcher in here. We've heard every excuse in the book, but this is a sensational one where you have a 1-2 count. The only thing the batter is going to do is choke up and say, let me just see if I can put this baseball in play. And you give the guy a free pass. Now, the one thing I do love about this overall is there's two things. Number one, there's nothing I like more than when a manager or coach makes a dumb decision and ends up paying for it here. We watched last year on In Play Sports Tonight, the worst game plan in the history of football get praised when Bill Belichick said, okay, I drafted a quarterback in the first round. I want him to throw like one time in this game. I'm a genius. We were begging at the end of that football game for the Buffalo Bills to put one drive together and beat Bill Belichick because he would have the answer for the dumbest game plan in the history of the NFL. But now Tony La Russa actually had the answer and basically was like, hey, whoa, that's the right move, man. I don't care if two strikes, no strikes. Put him on first base. We're going to get the next guy out. It was almost like if the next guy even got a single, like, oh, you know, one run scored. But the fact of the matter, Muncy went yard the very next batter, and he still sat there. And it's so easy. The human race likes this. Hey, look, man, I outsmarted myself. I thought I was doing the right thing. It didn't work. Trust me, I'm not going to be that foolish. As opposed to, why would you guys even be second questioning me on this? This is exactly the way you're supposed to. This is how the book goes in Major League Baseball of what you're supposed to do. No, it doesn't, Tony. That was an embarrassment. And I love the fact that they lost the game and a 3-run home run came over the top. But respect the game, Tony, right? Where you can't blow through signals and hit 3-run home runs up 10. But how about you respect the game and just admit when you're wrong, man? Just admit it.
But again, the thing about that is, right? First base opens up 1-2 count. If at that moment you go, all right, now listen, Trey Turner is one of the best players in baseball, right? 300 hitter. Max Muncy's a big time struggling at the plate, batting .150 essentially. I want to pitch around Trey Turner, right? I don't think anybody would bat an eye at that, right? In fact, you're like, no, that makes sense. The intentional walk? I mean, how little confidence do you have in the guy on the mound there? That you go, no, I can't even trust him. He's going to miss one dead over the middle. Well, he certainly did the next at bat. And I'm sorry, but this has been the consistent theme when we talk about La Russa since he's shown up here in Chicago. He's not good. They're just a good baseball team. But right now, they are underachieving. So I ask you this. How confident are you that he is going to be coaching this team by the end of the season?
He will. I don't think they're going to make a change because they have a lot of expectations and they're still in the mix there for the division. And once they do get healthy, you're right. You try to overcome your – it's hard. A major league manager, it's very hard to blow baseball games. Like a manager is usually just supposed to sit there, even keel, make the right moves here, and just don't outsmart yourself. It's when like Joe Maddon gets fired from the Angels. People go, oh, man, what a great – no. Joe Maddon was one of the dumbest managers in the history of baseball. Anybody that bats their pitcher eighth is a moron. So he gets fired, and rightfully so, they're not playing well. But the same thing when you look – like how hard you have to try to blow that game. If he doesn't pitch around Trey Turner right there and say, okay, take your base, and Trey Turner works a full count and singles up the middle, nobody's going to bat an eye and say, well, yeah, you're going to pitch to him at 1-2. If it was a 3-1 count and you said, all right, we lost him, we're not going to give in with a fastball right down the middle, put him on first base, completely different story. Even make like a 2-2, 1-2 count, the advantage of the pitcher worked hard to get that 1-2 advantage. He's not going to throw a meatball over the plate. He's probably going to nibble, nibble, nibble until you get a full count. But I love that when things like this happen in Major League Baseball, I love it because it gives us talking points to realize managing is probably the easiest job in professional sports. You don't have to do anything, but just don't screw up the easy plays. And La Russa did that yesterday.
It's a good point, right? Like almost the secret to being a good manager is make as few decisions as possible. That way you get none of the heat to come back your direction. You mentioned Joe Maddon. 14-game losing streak finally snapped. Now, I'm not going to come on here and tell you that Aaron Judge should be anything other than the AL MVP, but I also could not pretend that Aaron Judge, or any player for that matter, could do what Shohei Ohtani did yesterday against the Boston Red Sox. 7 innings, only 4 hits, 1 earned run, 6 strikeouts, went 100 pitches, and at the plate, 2 hits, 2 RBIs, with a 2-run homer that, despite at the moment trailing the game 1-0, put them up 2-1. That is why he was the favorite to win MVP, not just entering the year, but for so long despite early struggles. It's because what Ohtani can do at the end of the year when you line up resumes is basically provide a category that nobody else does. It was an MVP performance of the highest degree from Shohei Ohtani to stop the bleeding for the Los Angeles Angels.
And this is, and it's the shame of it for Ohtani is, Kevin, why do we expect this out of him every time he's on the mound? Meaning, let's go 7 innings, give up 1 earned run, and also rake at the plate. Like, it seems like he set the bar that high, and it's was his MVP season last year, where you look at his statistics and say, if he was just a normal, everyday player, hey, look at that. It's a pretty good baseball player here. Then you put him on the mound, and you say, whoa, he's doing something special, which last year, he was absolutely ridiculous. So if we look at his 4-4 record here on the mound, let's just say he finished the season, I don't know, 16-9 overall, hits 35 home runs. Again, how do you not give him the MVP just on that? Like, I know Aaron Judge has an absolute cannon for an arm, but it doesn't mean that, hey, Aroldis Chapman is struggling. Aaron Judge is going to close out the rest of the season and finish the season with 28 saves and an ERA like Josh Hader. That's not going to happen. So he always has that ace in the hole by saying, I'm a pitcher and also a batter, but also I'm above average in both those categories. It's almost like if he's above average in both, you have to give him MVP because, quite frankly, he is the best player in baseball.
He can impact that game in a totally unique way, which does matter. Again, with all of that though, that team is 28-31. Nine of the New York Yankees yesterday go back in the win column, 41-16, in a game where Gerrit Cole had one of the worst starts of his career. 2 1/3 inning, 8 hits, 7 earned runs, 5 home runs. The first 3 batters of the game said, oh, this will be easy. Home run, home run, home run. To win a game, Donnie, where your ace is horrendous, looks like a single-A pitcher, I think it's one of the more impressive wins of the early Yankee season here. And there's 41 to judge him on. Man, that is a championship-level win there, Donnie.
It really is. And you see the Yankees, you're right, 41-16 on the season, having a great year. But didn't you also have that in the back of your mind? Now, let me get this straight. We're going up against the Twins. We're a better team than them. We got Nestor Cortes on the mound, followed by Gerrit Cole. probably two easy victories. Cortez gets blown up, and then you flip it over next day. Okay, our stopper's on the mound here. The true ace of the staff, like we always thought, is Gerrit Cole, and he's getting wasted early. So you're saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. We're going to lose two of these games. Our ace is on the mound. Is this going to spiral out of control where we lose five of six games or six out of seven? Because quite frankly, you expect to win games when you're heavily favored number one and also with your two best pitchers on the mound. That's a great win for the Yankees because so many times that we talk about what works and what doesn't. All right, the Yankees aren't hitting, but they're getting great pitching. Like you've seen that in the past. You win 1-0, you lose 1-0. Just get it together. That was one of those where Gerrit Cole goes back and goes, thanks, guys. Like, I was embarrassing today. We still won this baseball game. That shows a lot to put up 10 runs in Minnesota when you're getting pounded early, seven runs through three innings, and you win that game on the road. That's the sign of a really good baseball team. And quite frankly, I actually like the fact if you would have said to me, Gerrit Cole is going to go out and win this game 2-1. That's what you expected. This is a way more impressive win than Gerrit Cole going out and being dominant, saying that's what we expected. This is a game for the Yankees you expected to lose, and you won. That's big.
100%. And by the way, I had sent out the tweet, jumped in a little throwback to in-play sports tonight on a live team total on the Yankees at 6.5. And part of that was like, hey, the baseball's flying. I think there were seven home runs already on the board. I mean, it felt like 1,000 home runs hit in this baseball game. The Yankees, again, they tied it 7-7. You saw it coming. It was just nice to trust offense in a way that we've not really been able to do. I know there were some big offensive performances. We'll talk about the Phillies one in our next segment, perhaps. But you're talking about, you know, Gerrit Cole and Nestor Cortez getting blown back in their most recent outings. Well, Shane McClanahan, yeah, not the case. And is now the AL Cy Young favorite at plus 360, went out there yesterday against St. Louis, 8 innings, 2 hits, no earned runs, 9 strikeouts to just 1 walk. Cy Young caliber stuff there from McClanahan, who leads the league in strikeouts on the season.
Yeah, we were watching a little bit of this yesterday on Moneyline, and rightfully so. I mean, you're talking, some guys, they just get it. But like we talk about, like Nestor Cortez, he's had a wonderful season. You watch him pitch and you go, I mean, you don't sit on your couch, Kevin, and say, I think I can hit this guy. But it's like, okay, he looks like he's good. McClanahan was out there dealing. And I'm talking about 6th, 7th, 8th inning, 97, 98 miles an hour with a devastating breaking pitch. He looks like, where did they hide this guy? So the reason I say that is, you see him as the Cy Young Award-winning pitcher right now, if the season ended today, just based on the odds, right? Just above Justin Verlander, he sits at that plus 360 price. But name recognition, most people still don't know who this guy is. He plays for the Rays, who play in front of like 5,000 people a game. You have those bigger names in the bigger markets out here. He's far and away right now the best pitcher in the game, and rightfully so, finally getting that respect. But it's almost like one of those things, so I don't know, the betting public or whoever's voting, you're waiting to say, well, McClanahan can't keep on doing this, right? So as soon as he blows up, we want to move him out of that number one spot. But he's dealing right now, and he's in the perfect pitcher's ballpark. But just maybe, as I stated, that name recognition just isn't there when you see Verlander or a Gerrit Cole still hovering around. But he deserves every bit of the accolades that he's getting early season 2022.
What stands out to me, those front three, McClanahan, Verlander, and Alek Manoah, all three of them have 7 wins, the only three in the American League. Manoah actually has the best ERA of the bunch. But what seems to right now be the deciding factor for McClanahan is the strikeout. Manoah is not top 10, and Verlander is 25 back from a strikeout perspective of McClanahan. But that is going to be a really, really fun AL Cy Young race. We'll talk about the former NL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Coming, I think, Donnie, in the way that you expected. You know, it's sometimes I have to remember all of Donnie's fantastic predictions for him. But he said this, like, in April. He's like, yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, the weather will get hot, and I'm sure then the Phillies will be able to kind of heat up and start to impress some people there. And that's kind of where we are. 7 wins in a row. And these are impressive victories. You take, you know, you win a game against the Giants to close out that series, and it stopped the bleeding on a losing streak. Sweep the Angels, and then a sweep in Milwaukee. Here is the, I'll get to the downside after. How impressed are you right now by the Philadelphia Phillies?
And it's good that you ask it right now. Like, I'm really impressed, like, because this is competent baseball that they're doing, getting good pitching, you know, overcoming where your bullpen at the end of the game is actually shutting it down, but also the timely hitting, which means your superstars are going yard when you need it. It's pretty impressive to watch. And you're right, on the road versus Milwaukee, one of those teams where it's very easy to say, we went on the road, we lost 2 of 3, we only scored 4 runs combined in those 3 games. Not the case here, Kevin. They lit up a pretty good pitching staff from start to finish.
Now I'll offer the downside. And I don't say, I say this from listening to you break this team down. Here's their next 13 games. 3 at home versus Arizona, 3 at home versus Miami, 5 in a row in Washington, 2 in Texas. All of those pretty much bad baseball teams, under 500 baseball teams. You know as well as I do that this team's problem has been that they'll lose this Diamondback series. That's a 13-game stretch, Donnie. At worst, should be 8-5, if not a 10-3.
You're right about it, and that's the expectations that you have set and usually have here for the Philadelphia Phillies, because as much as I'm a huge fan, I'm cheering it, where I tweeted out yesterday, wow, the Phillies are fun again. Not necessarily winning games, but competent games that they're putting out with a legitimate chance to win. We're waiting. We're waiting for the Philadelphia Phillies just to do some nonsensical things against teams that are below 500. That's what we do as the Philadelphia Phillies fans.
And that's not, no one's asking them to win 13 in a row, but they should be winning each and every one of those series.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.